thanks once again. Amen. It's a blessing to be in the house one more time. Amen. I want to thank God for our visitors who are here.
Amen.
Turn the monitor down over there, the one by my thing there. Or either you can turn some of these off, it'll be okay. Amen. We thank God. We do have a few guests with us today. And we know we have quite a few who are out for various reasons. But we just want to thank God and move right along this morning. Amen. We have a good word from the Lord for the season for today. And we want to take a look in the book of the Psalms. Y'all want to go to Psalm number 100 and take a look there. And also we are going to take a look in the New Testament at the book of Philippians chapter 4. Amen. These are some familiar texts that most of you seasoned saints are well aware of. Amen. So we want to take a look at these. If you'd like to read these with me, starting with Psalms 100 in verse number 1. This is a psalm of praise, it is called. Amen. Psalms 101. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and he hath made us. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Psalms 100, we love that word from the Lord, from the old covenant. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his word. And then this familiar passage from the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi in the New Testament, Philippians 4 and 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. That's the New Testament scripture. Amen. To the people of God, may God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And we'd like to use just for a topic for this message, why should we be thankful? Technically, that's a question I want to ask. Why should we be thankful? Amen. For some reason, the question mark is some kind of operator in Microsoft Word, so it didn't like me to put it there. But I want you to understand, this is a question that we want to ask at this season of the year, and it, not only of this year, but in this season of our lives, why should we be thankful?
Amen.
We live in a thankless culture. The world around us generally is not very thankful, for the most part. People want to skip right past the season of Thanksgiving and move right on into Black Friday. We're thankful if we can make our registers clean and claim, you see, and get back out of the red into the black is what they said.
Yeah.
And so we're thankful for that, but we just want to get that situation on. Let's skip over to be thankful. But this thankful thing is something that you and I need to understand. It's a characteristic of the people of God. We should be thankful. And why? Because of all that God has done for us.
Yeah.
I don't have to look very far to see what God has done for me.
Right.
You know, I can look right around in this room and see so many reasons why I should be thankful.
Amen.
I have a beautiful wife, a beautiful church family.
Amen.
We have beautiful friends, and we are in the family of God.
Amen.
We know we are not going to hell because of the blood of Jesus.
Right.
So I got a lot of reasons to be thankful.
Amen.
Just right there. I got a reasonable portion of health and strength. I'm not out of my mind. Somebody would say I am. The folks who would hear me outside here, they say, oh, that man that lost his mind over there. You know? And I said, no, you got it just backwards. I'm finding my mind. When I got in Christ, I'm beginning to find my mind. I haven't lost it. I lost that junk. And what got you folk thinking that they shouldn't be thankful.
Right.
But I have found something even better.
Yeah.
And like one man said, he says, I'm like one beggar who found bread. I'm telling another beggar where he can get some bread.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So the fact is, we come off our high horse.
Yeah.
And we should be thankful because it's God who allows people to even be in his world and have the audacity not to be thankful. So you and I need to understand that we should be thankful. But let's get some reasons why. We can see them right here. This psalm written here tells a lot about reasons why we should be thankful. He says here, this is a psalm of praise, first of all. That's one of the biggest faults of the world. It was a difficult thing for me to understand when I got saved, because I would hear people talking about praise God. Praise him for what? I didn't get it. You know, praise him because you just took a breath. And you can't even breathe if God don't let you breathe. You can't see if God don't let you see.
Yes.
So there's a lot of reasons why you ought to give him praise.
Yes.
You ought to be thankful for so many things some people take for granted.
Yes.
I know some folks who have had problems in these areas, and they would be so glad if they could just do what you do.
Yes.
In everyday life. See, you see, even little children, that's why some people say we don't want to be thankful. Look at the little children that are deformed and how murder goes on and all. They want to look at the bad stuff in the world. But you fail to see that if you are blessed, you are in better shape than somebody else.
Right.
So you ought to be thankful.
Yeah.
You ought to thank God because it could always be worse.
Yeah.
Amen. This psalmist here says, make a joyful noise. I like that too, because I may not sing in key all the time.
Right.
You know, but God says just make a joyful noise.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always tell people when I go out and preach that he put that verse in there just for me.
Yeah.
In case I hit a few Klingons. Yeah. You know what? You don't have to be perfect. We got a lot of folks singing perfect pitch and all that. Don't know anything about the Lord.
All right.
So you know what? If you can make a joyful noise, you ought to be glad.
All right.
All ye lands. That means everybody. He's not just talking about Jews. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That means all the lands all the way around the world, Gentiles and Jews alike.
Yeah.
Serve the Lord with gladness.
Mm-hmm.
Come before his presence with singing. He didn't say you had to be Ella Fitzgerald. See, just come before his presence, make a joyful noise. Let him know you're thankful for everything he is doing for you, everything he has done for you, and everything he promised that he's going to do for you. God's got promises on the table. I'm looking forward to them. So I hope you are too. I'm looking forward to what God has promised that he will do. He said all that stuff we worry about, this bad stuff, I'm going to take it out. I'm taking out everything that's not good. See, and he promised he's going to do it, but he's letting it roll on because it's not his desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and all should come to the knowledge of the truth. So he's given me and you time to reach out to the people who don't know him, the people who don't understand him, the people who don't think he's worthy of praise, the people who are thankless going on about their day-to-day life. He's given me and you opportunity to reach out to them. That's why he called 12 common people back in his day when he came all the way out of heaven to do a ministry on earth for 3.5 years. And he called a bunch of fishermen and tax collectors and regular everyday folks. Said, why come he didn't go up to the temple and get the priests? Why didn't he go up there and get all the righteous people, supposedly? He didn't. He went right down into the fish market and different areas around town and called everyday people to come and follow me. Be my disciple. Take my yoke up on you and learn from me. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And the folks in the temple were stunned. He said, well, who was he calling them for? You know, they don't even come to the temple hardly. I mean, they're up here, but they're ignorant and unlearned men, it says in the book of Acts. Why would he call them? Because God came to the simple to let you know you don't have to be a superstar. You can come to me and make a joyful noise. You don't have to be singing perfect pitch. Just come to me and say, thank you, Lord, for what I've already done for you. Serve the Lord with gladness. Be happy about what God has done for you. Come before his presence with singing. You see that? Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know, sheep are kind of some lowly, little docile creatures also. So he could have picked anything. He could have picked the lion, which is much more glorious. But you know, the scripture says that a live dog is better than a dead lion. You see? So God picks the lowly sometimes, things that would blow your mind. So he says, we are the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That means we show up at the time and the place of worship, and we thank God for whatever he has done. Does that mean everything has to be perfect? No. I thank him that it's not worse. We ought to thank him it's not worse. Think about all the bad traffic you drove through to get here. Thank you that it was not worse, Lord. Think about the loons you may have to work with every day in your life. Or they might live next door to you or something. You don't know. But the fact is, you ought to thank God for every good thing that he does. The scripture says God is continuing to send down good and perfect gifts every day. He said he come down from the Father of lights. And there is no variableness in him, neither shadow of turning. In other words, God is constant and consistent. And everything he gave is good. If we're not getting on the good end of it, it's not his fault. No, sometimes the Bible say you have not because you ask not. Are you calling on him to let him know what you need? Are you thanking him for what he already did for you? See, maybe that's why we don't get what we need or what we want. Because maybe we didn't thank him for what he already gave us. Maybe we ought to say, thank you for what you gave me right now. See, and thank you for what I didn't get, because if I didn't get it, you know, Lord. You know I didn't need it. See, and I'm so glad, and I've said this a number of times, that God didn't give me everything I asked for. So glad he didn't. Some stuff I think about and say, man, if you had got that, man, you would have messed yourself up. A lot of stuff you may have asked God for, and you didn't get it. So thank him even for that, because there's a reason why God does what he does. Notice what this writer says here. He says, know ye the Lord, that he is God. That means he's got it in control. If you're his, you don't have to worry about it. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. Some people like to say, oh, I'm a self-made man.
Really?
You got folk like that in the world.
Really?
You a self-made man, huh? Okay. I bet you can't prove it by your mother and your father. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates. I like that. With thanksgiving. In other words, come in where the Lord has set a place for you to worship. Assemble with his people and thank him for what he has done. Come into his courts with praise. You know, I don't come in here to complain to God. I come in here to praise him for what he already did. I'm not complaining. Thank you, Lord. If I didn't get it, I don't need it. Thank you. If I did get it, thank you. No matter what happened, I'm going to thank the Lord for whatever he has ordained to be so in my life. Amen. Because it could be way worse. Who was that songwriter saying? It could have been me. Outdoors. With no food and no clothes. See, so you know, we could be a tearful memory. But God has allowed us to continue on. So why should we be thankful? Because God is an awesome God. And he has blessed you to be whoever you are, wherever you are. You know what? He knows where you are. He knows. knows your circumstance. He's got a solution for your problem. See? And he wants you to have a little talk with Jesus. That's what one writer said. Tell him all about your trouble. See? And he knows what you need even before you ask. But it's the fellowship with him. And this is the reason why we should be thankful. Who am I that you are mindful of me, a songwriter said? That you hear me when I call. Think about that. Who am I? Good question. I think Israel Houghton wrote that one. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. See, God already knows there's going to be some people who reject his counsel. At one time we may have been in that group. Folks who rejected his counsel. Didn't understand his goodness. Didn't understand his mercy. See? And whatever you went through, he took you through it. Even if it wasn't right, he took you through it. And we always say around here, if he brought you to it, he can get you through it. He can blast you to get through whatever situation you're dealing with in your life. And that's the kind of God he is. He is merciful. And his truth is everlasting. It endures to all generations. So there is an immeasurable number of things for which God should be thanked, praised, and extolled at all times, regardless of all the negative things that occur in our day-to-day lives. Because no matter what bad things we have to deal with, there are always others who are going through far worse circumstances than we are.
Thank you.
You don't have to look far. You know, and it's not to say anything to their discredit, but we can't ignore it. Sometimes people go, why would God let that happen? Why did he not let it happen to you, is what you ought to be asking.
Yeah.
And you ought to say, thank you that it didn't happen to me.
Right.
And even if it did, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
You know what, we don't know, that's a lesson we don't hear much. Job went through some terrible stuff.
Yeah.
We talk about Job, all the stuff he went through. He was doing well. Somebody would have said, oh, look at Job. He's getting off over there. He got it well made. Look at all he got. He got flocks and lands and sons and daughters and how he got it together. You know, and then the devil came and propositioned God about Job. And actually God propositioned the devil. He said, hey, Satan, when he stepped in, have you considered my servant Job? The devil said, yeah, I thought about him. But you got a hedge around him and I can't get to him. Take that hedge down and let me strike him and he'll cuss you to your face. That's my translation. Y'all want to know which translation that came from? And God said, okay, I'm going to move the hedge, but you can't take his life. And the devil began to strike Job on every side. Got to the point where his own wife said, well, you just should cuss God and die. Look how messed up you are now. Turn his own wife against him. He said, woman, you sound like a foolish woman. Shall we receive blessing from God and not adversity? And that's where the famous verse of the song we sing, blessed be the name of the Lord, Job 121. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why we should be thankful. No matter what God allowed you to go through, he stopped the devil short of taking you out. Told the devil, you can't take him out. That's my department, not yours, sir. See? And so God has stopped that, but he allowed the devil to see, my people have faith. They have unshakable faith. You can't make them not trust me just because you touched the stuff in their life. You can't do that because my people have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. See, so Job knew that in his soul. If God blessed me before, he could do it again. Whatever he did for me before, he could do it again. He can go beyond what he did for me before. And all his friends got in, chimed in with the devil. Y'all know the story. And of course, he ended up having to minister to them before it was over. And then God blessed him in his latter days more than he had in his former days. But Job, you can see, understood why we should be thankful. God puts an extreme story like that along with all the rest in the scriptures. For example, he talks about Moses who forsook the treasures of Egypt that he might have a better resurrection, trusting in the people. God, I could stack up everything in Egypt. I'm the prince in Egypt. But it doesn't mean anything. You know, because whatever I have, I'm not taking it with me. And I'm going to go give a report to the Most High when it's all done. So I forsake the treasures of Egypt and I walk with God by faith. See, and God knows what you need. Don't ever let material stuff take you off the course. Stay on track. Stay on in faith, walking with God, being thankful all along the way. And God knows where he can take you. He can give you more than what you might acquire without his help.
All right.
Sometimes people get a lot without his help, and then next thing you know, when they leave, they find out, oh, I could have used his help. Because now I got to stand before a holy God and give an account. So there are many, many reasons why you and I should be thankful. As the psalmist said, God is exceedingly worthy of all of our praise. Praises, thanksgiving is the very least we should offer in response to the multitude of great things given to us through his goodness and his grace. Think about that. I would have to say the more that God has given me, he has given me more than he's ever taken away. The stuff he took away, I'm saying thank you for taking that away. I didn't need it. Material things in the world, stuff I thought I wanted. There was a different way of thinking when I wasn't thinking about God. See, when you start to think about God, God moves you in the right direction. Amen. He will never forsake you nor let you down. Now notice this, and we're almost done. This is our Thanksgiving pep talk here today. The New Testament, Paul, of all people, the Apostle Paul, he's the one who hated the church.
Yeah.
Think about somebody going the wrong way. How much worse can you be than somebody who hates the church?
Amen.
And publicly goes out and uses your earthly authority to persecute God's church.
Wow.
That he sent his son out of eternity to come into the world and establish. And you going, oh, that Jesus of Nazareth is a phony. I hate him. Can you imagine it? The Apostle Paul. I hate him so much, when you get ready to stone one of his people, Stephen, just put your coat over here. I'll keep an eye on it. Stone him. Get him out of here. He stood there like that. That's the guy who wrote this. And then he got turned around on the Damascus Road. He realized he was 180 degrees out of sync with the Most High God. I'm persecuting something that God has ordained from the foundation of the world to send his son. And he's coming to me now. I'm on my way to persecute his church down on Damascus Road. And he appears to me, the one who hated him and everything he stood for. And his light was so bright that Paul fell from his beast into the Damascus dust. And on his face with his belly in the dust, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "You know that one you hate? Jesus of Nazareth? That's me. Why are you persecuting me, Saul?" Confronted him to his face. See? Saul said, well, what would you have me to do, Lord? I guess somewhere in between there he realized, you are a God of mercy. Your mercy is new every day. See? Because you should be striking me with lightning. As much as I hated you. But instead, you are giving me mercy. So in between that verse somewhere where he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" Next thing he said is, "What wilt thou have me to do, Lord?" See, now I want to be your servant now. The mercy of God has been extended to us. It's extended to us every time we have a misunderstanding about who God is, what circumstance I'm in life. See, you know, we misunderstand. Sometimes we think, oh, God has set me aside for some reason because we don't get what we want. And we shouldn't do that. That's an error. But when you do, God has new mercy every day.
Yes.
It says in Lamentations chapter 3, great is his faithfulness.
Yes.
His mercies are new every morning. See, because he knows that we're frail and that he created us from dust. He understands that. He pities us like a father pities his children. See, but when we come up another level in our understanding of who God is, this is a good representation because Paul, he became Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus. And he hated the church. But he was now in the prison, suffering for preaching the gospel, being held down, locked down against his will. And he writes this epistle of joy. And I think it's the prescription you and I need today.
Amen.
For what ails us.
Amen.
When we wonder about, oh, what am I going through? Think about being locked down in a prison, but having it in your spirit to pen these words. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice.
That's right.
Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand.
Yes, yes.
In other words, whoever you're dealing with, let them understand you got something that can stretch you through any trouble.
Yes.
No matter what you're going through, God has given you perseverance. How? By faith.
Yes.
Doesn't make any difference. I'm locked in the jail. I'm writing the church to encourage them, to reinforce them, to get them to see you're in the free world, but I'm locked down. Rejoice in the Lord. He doesn't even mention that he's locked down. Only except to say some of the Praetorian Guard are getting saved because they hear this gospel that I'm preaching. I'm chained to them and they're hearing the word of God and they're getting saved in here. That's what he said. He said, oh, hurry up and get me out of here. I'm locked down. No, God is on my mind.
Yeah.
I'm rejoicing in him, and I'm telling you, Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always.
Oh.
And again, I'm going to reinforce that in case you heard, you didn't think I meant it. I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand.
Yeah.
Be anxious, some translations say, on verse 6, careful. That means don't be fidgety or upset or emotional about this. Don't be worried about anything.
Amen.
Don't let worry capture your mind and get you into a circle of fear. See, he says, be anxious or careful for nothing, but in everything. See that? When should we be thankful to God in everything? By prayer. If you got a problem, don't talk to the problem or the person or the situation. Talk to God. Everything by prayer and supplication. That word supplication is a type of prayer. It's a specific type of prayer. It means I'm going to ask God, supply what I need right here for this situation. See, you have that prayer is just general blanket word that covers all five types of prayer. Supplication is one of those types. And intercession is one of those types. Confession is one of those types. We have to confess sometimes. That's prayer. I'm going to tell God what's wrong with me. And tell you that I disagree with you here and I've fallen short. I confess. But that's prayer. I'm telling it to God. And then we want to also have intercession. That's when I pray on behalf of someone else. It's not me. I can see somebody else's needs. I'm not so self-centered that I think only about me and my needs. I want to pray for Mother Lemon and her needs or whoever else it is that comes in my spirit during my time of prayer. But he says in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. There's also adoration. That's another type of prayer, which is praise to God. And thanksgiving, that is the other type. I'm giving you all five here kind of offhand. Thanksgiving, that means I'm going to thank God for whatever circumstances I'm going through and anything that he has allowed to come in my life. Keep this in mind. Anything coming in your life must first pass through a nail-scarred hand to get to you. So I need to thank God.
Thank you.
No matter what's up, be careful for nothing. Don't let it trip you up or worry you, whatever you're going through. But in everything, that means every matter in your life, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests, there's another one, that's another word for supplication. Your requests be made known to God. Now, you know, the interesting thing is God knows everything and Paul knows God knows everything. So why am I letting him know? You know why? Because he said, cast all your care on him. If it's troubling you and got you going in a circle, take it off of you. Give it to God. Then you can rest. He'll give you rest for your soul. That's what Jesus said. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, Jesus said, you know what? Think about what he went through. Now we're going to take this up another level, and I'm almost done. Think about what Jesus went through. You came down here into a normal human body. Conceived by the Holy Ghost in the womb of a virgin.
Yes.
So you had none of Adam's blood in your veins. You were born holy because God designed women to make it possible when the fullness of time was come that you could be born of a woman and not pick up Adam's sin.
Yes.
Only God could have known that.
Yes.
Who else would have known that? The church didn't even know it at that time, even for hundreds of years. It took us a long time before doctors finally figured out what was up with the virgin birth. So Christ was born of a virgin, so he had none of Adam's blood and none of his sin, but he took on humanity by the Holy Spirit and by his mother. And he was in the world, but the world was made by him, John says, but the world knew him not. So he was God veiled in human flesh. Came into the world to do something for me and you no one could ever do. There was nobody, because the Bible says there's none righteous. There's not even one. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all unclean, all gone out of the way. But God had a remedy, and he sent it out of eternity through his own son. And he came into the world to suffer all those things in order to pay the bill for your sin and mine.
Yes.
See, that's what you have when we discuss the gospel, is God the Son, who is God in the flesh. That's what it says, John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory.
Amen.
John, them, they knew, oh, this got to be God. Look at this guy. He's getting down.
Yeah.
Doing stuff nobody could ever do.
Yeah.
Giving sight to the blind, healing the sick, raising the dead,
yeah,
stopping the storm just by speaking a word.
Mm-hmm.
Walking on the water, this man has to be God.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew. Nicodemus agreed. We know you are a teacher, come from God. Because no man can do the signs that thou doest except God be with him. And he had come into the world, and the world was made by him, the Bible says. But the world knew him not. But he went on to take on the afflictions of mankind. And he did this with no sin. That's the most amazing miracle that could ever be imagined. How could you be in here and let people spit on you, talk about you like a dog, beat you and ridicule you and mock you in the public, strip off your clothes and nail you to a cross, pick you up between heaven and earth and let you hang, bleed, and die and never sin? That's the miracle. That's one of the greatest miracles you could ever imagine. And it was him, and in that attitude that Jesus came, and you can't see it unless you have been born again. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You need heavenly spiritual revelation to see the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And so the fact is, only by God's Spirit can you see it. Saul was on the other side of that equation. Now he writes these things concerning Christ. He had to get to the place where he could take all that affliction. But he was looking at the model that God sent into the world, his own son. And so the Apostle Paul gives us a sufficient and challenging prescription. I would call this these verses in Philippians a prescription coming from God to me and you.
Amen.
Of how to cope with the problems of day-to-day life and be able to do it successfully and give glory and thanks to God. If we can master this, take this prescription to heart, I'm praying on it. I have to pray on it quite frequently. Because it's easy to slip off of it and not be steadfast and unmovable, like Paul said. So he gives us a sufficient and challenging prescription that has the ability to heal us deeply. See, we have some deep things in our lives that need to be healed. If we get in this mindset right here, that I can be locked down in the jail with every earthly thing I own stripped away from me, but I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. Always. I'm going to let my moderation, that means my sweet reasonableness, that's a hard to translate Greek word. They translate moderation in the King James. It means that you are reasonable beyond the imagination, the sweet reasonableness, somebody said. Where you're going to be so reasonable, they know it has to be something supernatural about you. But let that be known to all men. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. He hasn't gone anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what you're going through.
Yeah.
See that? Be anxious for nothing.
Yeah.
Don't let stuff get you from out of a state of peace. Be anxious for nothing. Don't keep on looking at the problem. Look at God.
Yeah.
Thank him for what you're going through.
Yeah.
Know that he's going to take you through it. If he brought you to it, he's going to take you through it.
Yeah.
This is what Paul knew as he sat in the prison writing this prescription. He said, if you do this, he says, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. If we can just learn to unload our problem, give it to the one who loves you the most, that cares the most for you, that's provided everything for you. Take it off of you. Give it to him. There's a spiritual transfer of my problems, my situation, from me. I'm giving it to God. Put putting it in his hand, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. Why? Because he cares for me. He loves me. He's not going to let me fail. See, I'm going to accomplish everything I was born for. See, that's why Paul knew the Lord had separated me from my mother's womb to preach the gospel. So yeah, I'm going through some stuff, but I'm going to make it through because I'm not done yet. I got more stuff to do that God has got for me to do in life. So you just transfer all the trouble right over to him. That same thing Peter said, just to get one more witness on this. Peter said, cast all your care on him, for he cares for you. So if we can learn this, we're going to get somewhere, St. Timothy.
Okay.
He says here, and this is what happens when you give it to God and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You won't even understand why am I so peaceful in all this trouble I'm going through.
Really?
Everybody else is losing their mind. But I'm peaceful because I know God got me. It shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Then he says, finally, don't let that evil stuff go around in your head over and over.
Mm-hmm.
He said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true.
Yes.
That's God's holy word. Whatsoever things are honest. Don't think about the thieves, the rapists, the murderers. Think about what's true.
Yes.
Think about what's honest.
Yes.
Think about what things are just.
Yes.
Think about what things are pure.
Yes.
Whatsoever things are lovely.
Yes.
Whatsoever things are good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Yes.
Change what you think about.
Yes.
Throw out the garbage.
Yes.
Think about all the good stuff all around you that God has given you.
Yes.
It's everywhere in your life.
Yes, it is.
He says, and he says, notice this here, those things which ye have both learned, that means we are teaching you through scripture, you have received, and you have heard and seen in me. Do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So the Apostle Paul gives us this prescription, the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit will make the choice that we practice a spiritual mindset that is present, is presented to the church of Philippi. But guess what? It's not just for them. This prescription is for you.
Yeah.
If we could do it, we wouldn't be having trouble. The devil wouldn't win.
Right.
But the devil likes to start up something in your mind and get you off track. Get you circulating around on some trouble. Get you thinking about this over here and that over there instead of thinking about this one up here. See, but he said, when did he say, I'm going to leave you tomorrow? Is that what he said? No, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Hallelujah.
I'll be with you always.
Glory.
Even to the end of the world. If the world is still here, guess what? Look around. You see the world? Okay. Well, I'm still with you.
Yes.
I got your back.
Yes.
I got your side.
Yep.
And I got your front. I got your cover.
Yes.
I don't have to worry about it.
Yes.
If we worry, guess what that means? Who am I not trusting?
My God.
See? I'm not trusting him. I got to trust him in all things.
Yes.
And all I've always said this, and this is really just a fact that I'm going to be done. If you're here, guess what? None of the stuff that threatened you in your life from the womb up until now has taken you out.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I see you. I know you're still here.
Yeah.
Didn't take you out.
Yeah.
How much stuff were you going through that you thought, oh, this is it. Well, I'm going down. And you entertain that foolishness from the devil. Instead of saying, God got me.
Yes.
Got my back.
Yes.
See, that don't mean I haven't had trouble. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Got some right now.
Yes, sir.
Put you on the back burner. I'm going to put him on the front.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. I got some trouble right now. Get on the back burner and then come to the front.
Yeah, Lord.
See, that's what we have to do. So if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, that'll be the first best move
you
could ever make. Trust him right now. The Bible says trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Think about this, as I was saying about Jesus, as we bring the service to a close. He came out of eternity, suffered all of that. He took the worst of the dregs of the world. Drank the cup of bitterness. Tasted all the afflictions and all the evil. And people really hated him who did what they did then. And he did all that and took it all for me and you.
Amen.
He was God. He could have... He told them, I can call legions of angels and shut all all of this down if I want to. I can shut it down. I'm not. All I have to do is say the word. But I'm letting you do this.
Thank you, Lord.
Why? So I can, for the joy that's set before me, I endure the cross. Because I can't save anybody unless I go through the grave and tangle with your last enemy who is death. So he went in the grave, took death upon himself. And what if they didn't take his life? He said, no man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down.
Amen.
That I might take it up again. So I'm going to let you do all you'll do, but I'm fulfilling the scripture.
Yes.
I'm going through from Moses to Malachi.
Yes.
Making sure every I is dotted and every T is crossed.
Yes.
That my father said. And when they did all that, I said, okay, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit.
Yes.
And he gave up the ghost. Gave God a perfect, unblemished spirit with no sin.
Yes.
In order to satisfy his just wrath and judgment against whoever believes in him. Whosoever believes in the Son of God shall not be put to shame. And then he commanded his spirit, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Leave on out. You can go now. Perfect, unblemished, unspotted spirit. And he gave up the ghost. He breathed his last. See, then they said, well, you know what? We better make sure he dead. Get a spirit. Pierced him through. And John said, I was there and I saw blood and water come down. That body was dead on that cross. He was already dead when they pierced him. The centurion said, well, I can't let him down unless we know he dead. So he took a spirit, but they don't make him. I'll be at fault. So he pierced him through. Didn't realize that here's the man who died fulfilling the scripture. He was wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace was upon him. With his stripes we're healed.
Yes.
He was pierced, it said, wounded and pierced.
Yes.
Now, you already gave up the ghost. How is that happening?
Thank you, God. Thank you.
That's because he's God.
Yes.
And he did that for you and me. So he borrowed Joseph's tomb for 3 days and 3 nights.
Yeah.
And early on the first day of the week, got up out the grave.
Yes.
Told death, give me the keys. Had the keys to death and hell. And I do that so whoever believes in me in all of time. That's the only standard there is. You can't be saved any other way.
No other way.
Except by faith in the risen Christ. If you trust him, then you can know you're saved.
That's it.
100%. It's by God's grace alone. It's by Christ alone. It's according to his word alone. See, by faith alone. No works. But God will make your works what he wants them to be. So if you're here today and you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, do it right now in the quietness of your own heart. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we come at this Thanksgiving season, Lord God. We want to thank you for everything you already have done. We thank you for the gospel, Father, that good news that you gave your Son, so that whosoever believes in him will not perish. Father, you said if anybody would confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that you have raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And so, Father, we want to be saved. We want people in the world to hear the good news and understand that you completed everything necessary. You left no stone unturned, especially not the one in front of that tomb.
Yes, Lord.
So that we could see that the grave was empty.
Touch.
That Jesus got up with all power in his hand. Father, help us today to walk by faith and not by sight. Father, we know the enemy comes in all around us, but like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will put up a standard against him. And Father, we thank you for the Spirit, Lord. Bless and save anybody under the sound of my voice who is just getting a fresh, good understanding of what you have provided in Jesus Christ. And we give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Father, take us through this Thanksgiving season with a thankful heart, Lord God.
Yes, Father.
And we give you praise for all that you have done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all the church said together,
amen. 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 We hope you got a good word from the message.